we started to consider together the thoughts of the test of our humility. We've been looking in our morning services with regards to that important development of the grace of humility, that we will learn to walk humbly in this present world. And so this morning we try to begin to consider very practically, how do we know if we are walking humbly in our own Christian life, if we're walking humbly before the Lord, if we're walking in a way that truly is pleasing unto Him. And our first test that we gave was that we can consider whether or not we are walking humbly. We can determine if there's truly humility within our life as we view ourselves in relationship to others. How do we view ourselves when we look around and we see others? Do we believe truly that it's our responsibility and our duty to be the servant of all? Or do we really believe that others are there to serve us? Do we look down upon and judge others around us? And we asked ourselves some questions in relation to that first test. Do I prefer others to me? Am I more concerned about the needs of others, or am I concerned simply about my needs? Do I do as the scripture says, in honor, prefer one another? Do I compare myself to others? Do I judge others on my actions? Do I look at them and say, I'm better than them, I'm more spiritual than they are because of the way that I live versus the way that they live? Do I judge their life by my life? Or do I judge my life by the Word of God, which is supposed to be that which we judge our lives by? Am I jealous of others? Am I truly able to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those that rejoice? Again, I think that's sometimes the harder of the two, to rejoice with others when they rejoice, when we ourselves might actually be weeping. Am I discouraged because I don't seem to have what others have? Am I easily offended and slow to forgive? Do I always seem to find fault in those that are around me? Am I always looking for someone else and their offense? And am I slow to forgive when I've been hurt, whether that's been intentional or unintentional? How do I respond to those around me? We can say that we walk humbly in this present world. We can claim to have such a trait within our own lives, but really the proof of that is seen in the way we respond to others, in the way we interact with others, in those times when we are vulnerable, in those times when our guard is down, when we think no one else is watching. How are we walking then? Are we walking in our own pride and our own desires, or are we walking humbly before our God and humbly before other men? That's the first test that we have to consider. How do I view myself in relation to those that God has placed around me? There's another test, and this is where I want to begin tonight, of our humility. And the second test is simply this: our view of self in relation to ourselves. Our view of self in relation to ourselves. Here's what I mean by that. As we seek to walk humbly in this present world, what is our view of myself? How do I consider myself? This is really the essence of the opposite of what we just considered. The first focus was, how do I view others? Am I willing to prefer them over me? Am I willing to look at them and desire to serve them? How do I view myself in my own walk with the Lord? You know, some show their pride in their view of their own spiritual walk. They believe that there is no one else that is as spiritual as they are, no one else who is as holy and humble as they are. And our humility is determined by what or of whom we are willing to praise. I want you to think about that for a moment. Our humility can often be seen in what or whom we are willing to praise. You know, sometimes we have to deal with criticism. Nobody likes to be criticized, do we? We don't enjoy when someone comes along and they offer their criticisms to us, constructive or otherwise. We don't like criticism. But you know, criticisms are often easier to handle than compliments. I remember years ago being given this warning by a pastor as I was studying for the ministry. He said, always beware of what the comments are at the end of a service. Beware of everyone who comes out and compliments you. Be careful of that. And I've always tried to keep that in mind. I appreciate when folks are willing to come and say, Pastor, that was a blessing. The Lord really spoke to my heart. That's good to hear. I'm thankful that the Lord works in people's lives. I'm thankful that the Spirit of God is moving and teaching us and we are growing in those things. That's a blessing, but we ought to be careful because sometimes we can begin to think of ourselves again more highly than we ought. Sometimes we begin to put the focus on self when it should be on Christ. Remember, humility is simply that I understand that I am nothing. And God is everything. He is my all in all. It is not my life that is being lived out for the praise of men. It is the life of Jesus Christ living through me that seems to matter and count. It's that folks look at your life and they look at my life and they see Jesus Christ. Not me, not you. And sometimes we struggle and we can show that we're not truly walking humbly because of our own view of self. Have you ever met someone or heard someone boast of what they're able to do for the Lord? Sometimes when you hear them, you just kind of wonder, I wonder if they realize what they just said. I wonder if they understand what they're really saying about themselves as they boast of those things. None of us like a boaster. Nobody enjoys the boaster. I still remember being in junior high in basketball. We were all on a team together. But every time we traveled back from a game, there was one guy who would sit with us, and all he wanted to do was talk about himself. Man, did you see what I did? Did you see how great I was? Did you see how wonderful I was? Boy, it's a good thing I was there or we wouldn't have won the game. And I used to think to myself, don't you realize you're part of a team? Don't you realize that it took four other guys out on that court with you, plus the guys that came off the bench when you got into foul trouble and you couldn't be there to play a part of the game with us? Don't you realize it took more than you? But he wanted to rehearse every shot that he took, every rebound that he made, everything that he did so well. And we used to sit there and just kind of let him talk, and we would have our own conversations because no one really wanted to listen to him. And sometimes we do that within our own spiritual life. Sometimes people make comments like this. I haven't heard these lately, by the way, so I'm not thinking of anybody when I make these comments. Sometimes folks thinking spiritually will try to be spiritual. They'll say things like this. I'm so thankful God gave me this ability to work with children because it's such a blessing for me to be able to be their teacher in Sunday school. It's so good to see how the kids respond when I teach them, as if when someone else teaches them, they never learn anything. But I'm so glad God gave me my wonderful gifts to be a teacher. What a blessing it is when they respond to me. Who's the focus on there? Focus is on them as the teacher. But the focus as the teacher in a Sunday school ought to be for the honor and glory of the Lord. Boy, I really hope the music director lets me sing solos. God gave me this beautiful voice and I want to use it for His glory. Well, good for you. Glad you have such a beautiful voice and we all need to listen to it. But sometimes we think, I just want people to know my wonderful spiritual gifts that I have. God bless your soul. You know, I would honestly rather listen to someone sing a solo who isn't as good but has a heart to serve the Lord than someone with a beautiful voice that's stuck on themselves. I'll be honest, I'd rather follow a bad singer with a good heart as a preacher any day than a good singer with a bad heart. Because it's the heart that they are using to serve the Lord that really comes forth when they sing. That's what helps us have our heart prepared to hear the Word of God. Boy, I would love to come and help out with this work day. You just let me know the big projects you want me to handle. You know, sometimes you get people like that, and when they make those comments, you almost feel inferior to them. You almost begin to think things like this. Well, I don't need to teach. No need for me to sing. No need for me to get involved in a work day. I mean, what's the church need me for when the church has them? And there are some who really get so lifted up in their own pride that they begin to think that they are better than everyone else. They have the wrong view of self, even in serving the Lord. I've asked you to turn to Luke 18, and I want you to see for just a few moments, verses 9 through verse 14. Because at times we struggle with the same thing that the Pharisees struggled with. Look at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Can't you see him almost pointing the finger at him while he's praying? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I find it interesting what verse 9 says. It tells us why the Lord Jesus taught that parable. It says that he taught this parable, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and because of that, they despised others around them. There were some who trusted in themselves. The Lord Jesus came to deal with the problem of there were those who had a wrong view of themselves. They were proud. They were exalted within their own mind. And as such, they looked down upon everyone else around them. They believed there was no one as spiritual as they were. Jesus Christ is here speaking to an audience, some including his own disciples. And the problem was they were struggling with pride. Their lack of humility was seen in their view of their own righteousness. They had what we often call the holier-than-thou mentality. You've heard someone say that before. Oh, he's just got that holier-than-thou. By the way, did you know that's a biblical phrase? If you were to turn, you don't have to turn tonight, but you turn to Isaiah 65 and verse 5. It literally has this idea. The statement is simply said, and I can't have the exact quote, but I'll give you the idea tonight. Stand afar off, because thou art not holier than I am. That holier than thou mentality existed back in the Old Testament days. Even the people of Israel that would believe, don't approach unto me, for you're not as holy as I am. They had that holier-than-thou mentality. And the Lord Jesus is still dealing with that very same problem here in Luke 18. There are some who have a wrong view of their own selves. They think that they are more spiritual, more gifted, more talented than anyone else. The Lord Jesus Christ refers to the pride of the Pharisees, who would praise the Lord in prayer and say, I thank God I am not like these other men. He's using the avenue of praise. He's coming to God in prayer publicly. And in praising the Lord, he is praising himself. Lord, I thank you that you didn't make me like all these other terrible, wretched people. Especially like this publican. What a terrible view. What a terrible mentality. What should our response be? Because the reality is this, is it not? God has given to each of us gifts according to the measure of his grace. Each and every one of us are in a different place spiritually. Some have grown and they've matured in the Lord and they've been walking with the Lord for many years. Some have a deeper and greater understanding of the things of God. Some have been able to use their gifts and serve the Lord in many ways for many years. Some have been actively involved in serving the Lord in this church for many years as Sunday school teachers. teachers, as choir directors, as members of the choir, as soloists, and God has used them in a wonderful way. How do we respond, though? How do we view self in relation to our own spiritual walk? Well, the Lord Jesus didn't feel it was beneath him to wash the feet of his disciples. On the night before our Savior was taken to be crucified, he met with his disciples in the upper room. And in that night, he laid aside his garment and he took upon himself the apron of a slave. And he bent over and he washed the feet of his own disciples, teaching them the importance of humbling themselves before one another. Our Savior didn't think it was beneath him to eat with the publican and sinners. That was often a charge the Pharisees made. You eat with the publican and sinners. We would never do that. We're too holy to eat with those people. You're having a meal with those terrible sinners. Know what the Pharisees forgot? Know what they didn't understand? That every meal that Jesus had upon this earth with someone else, he ate with a sinner. Every meal. It wasn't stooping beneath him to go eat with someone who was worse of a sinner. We were all sinners. But Jesus Christ was willing to spend time with those who had need. He didn't value his rights over ours. He willingly came to this earth, left the glory of heaven. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God and sit in heavenly places. That thought always strikes me when I come around the Lord's table. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he now has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and has caused us to sit in heavenly places. How did he do that? He left the glory of heaven and came like one of us. Was made in the likeness of men. God dwelt with us, that we one day might be able to dwell with him and sit in heavenly places. That wasn't beneath him. He didn't consider his rights more important than ours. As the Apostle Paul understood these truths, so should we have this response, that we are the least of all of God's saints. Folks, our view of self ought to be that we are nothing. There is nothing special within us. Again, I'll remind you of the statement that we shared a week or so ago. God is not impressed with your abilities. He gave them to you. He is not impressed with your opportunities. They are gifts from him as well. He is only impressed by your humility, because in that you are declaring your dependence on him. God is everything. We are nothing. And if you want to know, am I walking truly humbly, ask yourself the question, how do I view myself in my own spiritual life and walk? Am I lifted up? Am I exalted? Do I have a high view of self? Or do I, like the Apostle Paul, say, I am the least of all saints? Would you be easily offended if you were overlooked to teach Sunday school in the fall quarter? If you weren't asked to be involved in some way, if your opinion wasn't considered, and someone decided to do something different than what you're used to, would that really hurt you? Would that bother you? Would that make you angry with others because I seem to know the way? I know what's best. How dare they not come to me? Why didn't they ask my opinion? Folks, we ought to have an understanding of ourselves and how we view ourselves in relation to our own selves as we try to walk with the Lord is one test of our humility. When we find ourselves being exalted within our own selves, we realize the spirit of pride is being lifted up, and that needs to be confessed before the Lord. The Lord Jesus taught this parable because there were those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. We are nothing. Folks, God is everything. Here's the final thought, the final test that I want to share with you today. How do we view ourselves in relation to our offense? How do we view ourselves in light of the fact that we have sinned? Humility, or the lack thereof, can be determined not only by what we praise, but also can be defined by our attitude of penitence. How do we view our life as a sinner? We've just considered the fact that we are nothing, in the sense that we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think and despise others. In this point, the opposite is seen. Some have an overly low view of self because of sin. I often refer to this as reverse humility. You ever meet someone like that? Oh, I could never be involved in the Lord with the Lord. I'm too terrible of a person. I have just too much sin. I could never teach a Sunday school. I'm just not like everybody else. I don't know that I have the training. I don't know if I can handle working that. Oh, for me to work. Oh, I don't know if I could work in the nursery. Oh, I could never sing in the choir. I mean, I know God's given me a nice voice, but I just couldn't get in front of people. I don't want to do those kind of things. You know why we often say things like that? Because you know what we really want? We want something. Oh, no. Really, really. You would be perfect for that. Reverse humility, right? I remember in my first church that I pastored, I had a gentleman in my church. I used to challenge him with that all the time. He would always come to me with that kind of statement. Oh, Pastor, I can never do that. I said, Gary, God bless your heart. That's that reverse humility coming out to you again. You know what that is? No, pride. God's given you a wonderful gift and a wonderful ability. Stop putting yourself down that others will exalt you. Understand who we really are in relationship to the fact, yes, I'm a sinner. And yes, I am unworthy. But I am a sinner saved by grace. And God has called me to serve Him with all of my heart. True humility will always strike a proper balance and a proper viewpoint of the fact that we are simply sinners saved by grace. By the way, how do you learn to strike such a balance? Well, I think Paul teaches us that in two ways. Number one, we should always remember the awfulness of our sin. Now, you and I tonight are going to gather around the Lord's table. It ought to be a reminder to you and I as we take into our hands that bread which represents His body broken for us. We take into our hands that juice which is a reminder of His blood shed for us. It ought to be a reminder to you and me of the awfulness of our sin. All we like sheep went astray. We turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we have been healed. Our sin is an awful thing. God is a holy God. And man in essence basically said, Lord, I don't want You. I will go my own way. I know You say we can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but that just looks too good to me. It really doesn't matter, God, what Your word says. I want it my way. No wonder why God would call pride an abomination and something that He hates and detests. Our sin is awful. And folks, we sin often, do we not? How often do we lift up ourselves in pride against the Lord? How often do we continue to go our own way and do our own thing? We can come into a service. We can open our Bible for devotions. We can read His word. We can hear it preach. We can know there's a problem within our life and we refuse to change. And you know what I often hear? Oh, Pastor, you just have to understand, that's just the way I am. I hate when people say that. I really do. That just makes my ears turn red. that's just who I am. That's just who they are. You have to learn to accept that. No, we don't. We are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, you got to understand, some of us old dogs just don't learn new tricks very well. Learn! He has the power to change your life. He had the power to save you. He can make you more like Christ. That's His desire. And we need to remember just how awful our sin is. And Paul never lost sight of the awfulness of his sin, but he always remembered as well the greatness of God's grace. We ought to remember, yes, the awfulness of our sin, but praise the Lord, there is a God who is great in His grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are created as His workmanship in Christ Jesus. It's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. We can't forget, nor should we ever forget, the greatness of God's grace. The Apostle Paul was always aware of his sin. And if he would have only dwelt upon the fact that he was an awful sinner, he never would have tried to serve the Savior. But he would never forget the greatness of His grace. I want you to consider a couple passages of Scripture with me which point that out. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. 1 Corinthians 15. We need to have a right view of ourselves as a sinner. A proper view of self in relation to our offense. In 1 Corinthians 15, that wonderful chapter on the resurrection, Paul is now speaking of the fact of those who have seen the Lord. Verse 8 says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He didn't forget the awfulness of his sin. But notice verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul remembered that he was the one who persecuted the church. He remembered the awfulness of such an offense. But oh, how he gave God the praise of His grace that made him what he was, an apostle. He never felt worthy of such a position. You and I would look at the Apostle Paul and say, certainly he was worthy. Paul never felt that way. He never once felt exalted, because he understood he had sinned greatly, but he was a sinner saved by grace. Go to Ephesians chapter 3 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." He understood who he was, but he never forgot the wonder of God's grace. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 tonight. Verse 12 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." You know, even though the Apostle Paul recognized that he had been counted faithful, You can't come to verse 12 and find any pride there. He understood it was God who did all of those things. It was God who counted him faithful. It was God who put him in the ministry. It was because of his grace. He wasn't worthy of it. You know, folks, you and I are not worthy in any way, shape, or form. In these passages, we find that Paul references his sinfulness. Can I say to you, that was his past. And yet he reminds us of the truth of God's grace and his mercy. That's his present and his future. You and I are all sinners. We all went astray. We all turned our own way. But the Lord took upon him our iniquities and he saved us. Though our sins were like scarlet, we become white as snow because of Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. His grace has been imparted to us, and you and I have been declared righteous. You know, the truth of our sinfulness will never be forgotten. I'm not sure how we'll think about these things, but as I think about it here upon earth and I project many years down the road, when you and I have entered into glory, we're still going to be reminded of this fact. I'm never worthy of heaven. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That thought ought to humble us tonight. That thought ought to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He ought to be our all in all. We ought to be willing to give our lives fully over to the Lord and allow him to be everything. We ought to be willing to say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We ought to be willing to say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We ought to be willing to say, because of the mercies of God, I will present my body a living sacrifice. I'll die to self. That's holy, acceptable unto God. That's my reasonable service to him. I am nothing. And God is everything. Folks, can I ask you tonight, how are you doing in that development of humility? I'm convinced it's one of the greatest needs within the church today. Pride for the beginning of time has plagued mankind, and it continues to plague us. We are never going to know the rightness of our relationship with God. We're never going to know the victory that we should possess and the blessings that are ours until we are willing to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and allow him to exalt us in due time. We ought to be willing to humble ourselves before the Lord and others because God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. So how do you know if you're walking humbly? Well, ask yourself, how do I view myself in relationship to other people? Am I exalted above them? Are they less than me? Are they even beneath me? How do I view myself in relationship to my own personal walk with God? I mean, do I really look at myself? Am I trusting in my own righteousness and my own deeds and my own service and my own gifts and my abilities? Remember, God's not impressed with those things. He gave them to you. How do I view myself in relationship to my own sin? Am I willing to say, Lord, I can't serve you. I'm too great of a sinner. Don't ever forget the awfulness of your sin, but don't ever forget the greatness of his grace. You're a sinner saved by grace, saved to be his workmanship, saved to serve. And to each one, he has given a measure of the gift of his grace. We can serve him. But we serve him in the right spirit and the right understanding. I am a sinner saved by grace. The least of all other saints. I am nothing. God is everything. Folks, those are the people that God today is looking for to be his servants. Those are the people he will willingly bless. Tonight, in just a few moments, we're going to gather around the Lord's table. Jesus Christ is the one that needs to be exalted. Jesus Christ is the one who needs to be considered. he deserves first place. We can give that to him here upon the earth, and we can know great blessing of the Lord. Or we can struggle and allow sin to continue to enslave us. But I'll remind you that at his name, one day every knee is going to bow, and all will fall before him. Our life is to be crucified with Christ. He, not us, is to be living through us, that we might be channels of blessing. If you were to give yourself these tests today, let me ask you, would you pass or would you fail? Because that's the goal for us, each and every one. I didn't ask you to consider anybody else. I didn't ask you to think about the people around you tonight. I didn't ask you to evaluate yourself in relationship to everybody else within the church. But evaluate your own heart, your own life. All of us need to do that, myself included. Would we pass or would we fail? Would we find a spirit of humility? Or do we find within us the sin of pride? If we fail, then what we have learned is that there is a root of pride still within us, and we need to come and humble ourselves again before the mighty hand of God, confessing our sin. Praise the Lord, the Bible says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let me ask you tonight, are you walking humbly in this present world? Let's pray.